KUOW's The Record. I'm Bill Radke. We're on Twitter at KUOW. Seattle's success has an underside that you may not have considered. Our booming tech industry has brought in a lot of men and a lot of money. And wherever there are men with money, you will find prostitution. The Seattle Times has been writing about men starting a prostitution ring here, developing websites where Johns can review prostitutes and set up meetings at luxury apartments in Bellevue. Times reporter Lynn Thompson's been writing about how police finally brought the ring down. Lynn, welcome to KUOW.
Thanks, Bill.
You write that men who pay for sex come from a lot of backgrounds, but that in our area, prosecutors have found they are disproportionately tech workers from the East Side. Why?
I think because there are a lot of men in tech on the East Side, and they seem to be comfortable using their cell phones and booking dates and going to visit these women. I'm guessing that a lot of them are single. A lot of them work long hours. A lot of them think it's just more convenient to, you know, book a date with a prostitute than have a relationship.
East Side more so than Seattle?
I don't know if it's more so. It's sort of ironic. Bellevue has a reputation of being pretty squeaky clean, you know, more crime-free than Seattle. And they also have a pretty upscale downtown, and somehow that's attracted people. So what you got were some of these men renting or leasing the apartments, these upscale apartments in downtown Bellevue, for specifically Korean women who are coming here from South Korea or traveling a circuit around the country and staying in Bellevue for a couple weeks and then moving on to another city. So, one detective said, you know, ironically, it's this reputation for being safe that has attracted some of the activity, but also, you know, it's convenient for tech workers to go see these women.
A group of men who used prostitutes regularly started up this website known as the Review Board, where there were reviews of prostitutes. Will you describe that?
Yeah, this started way back in 2001. It was almost like the dawn of the internet. And a man named Sigurd Zitars, who was known by his screen name as Tahoe Ted, came up with this idea that he could put everything related to prostitution on one website. He would run free ads for women. He would screen the ads himself. And then for people who wanted to, you could join the conversation and write reviews of these women, comment on other people's review, rate the women, you know, do you recommend these women? And it became known as a Yelp for prostitution.
Of course, a lot of this has to do with just the availability of technology, tools we didn't used to have. Is that just a coincidence with the Seattle East Side tech boom?
To some extent, what detectives have said to me is every time there's an advance in technology, it's used for prostitution.
Really? What other examples of technology?
Well, I think just in the beginning, you know, as soon as there were cell phones, then it was a lot easier to book a date. Now you just you go online. There are ads. I think the detective said there were more than 100 websites in the Seattle area where you could online escort sites. Typically, they have ads for the women and a text number that you know, so you can text and say, "Hey, are you available at 7 tonight or noon tomorrow?" And so it's also anonymous. You're just using phone number. You're not using your name. Typically, you did have to send in some kind of identification if it was your first date. And that was another bizarre thing that the men were, hundreds of them, were sending in, you know, photos of their work ID, you know, Amazon, Microsoft, Boeing, photos of their passport, their work website, and the detectives were kind of dumbfounded, like, really? You know, this is a criminal enterprise that you're participating in.
I was reading your stuff thinking, how did they get away with it this long?
Well, I think they got really complacent because this review board had been around since 2001. Tahoe Ted did an interview in 2008 in Seattle Metropolitan Magazine, you know, essentially bragging about how great it was to be able to read in advance the women you want to meet and hear what other men said about what sex act she was willing to provide and how much it cost and how do you get into the condo without being detected by security. And, you know, he this is all in a magazine and nothing happens to him, you know. He's not arrested. And so I think what happened was it evolved from isolated men booking dates to this organized activity. And suddenly these men were not just going to see a prostitute. They were leasing the apartments. They were connecting these prostitution agencies with photographers, placing the ads. Some of them were driving women back and forth from SeaTac. And it no longer resembled isolated men booking dates.
Is that what brought the ring down? Is all this activity, all these men coming to, you know, one apartment, shuffling in and out?
Absolutely. That the tip that started the investigation was someone living, a resident of one of these Bellevue condos, who said, "I think my neighbor's involved in sex work. There are men walking up and down the hall all times of day. They're all different body sizes, all different types. And, you know, essentially, you know, what are they doing here?" And sent that to the police. So the police had, they'd been aware of the activity on the review board. And so they started looking into it more. And there started to be this explosion of brothels in Bellevue, which they could tell through the ads, you know, "Come see me tonight in Bellevue."
Yeah. Well, at least there's a downside. You know, it's not easy to run an increasingly large and busy prostitution ring in apartment complexes and stay under the radar. There was a group of men involved known as the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Who were they?
They were a select group of men who met through the review boards. So they had already shown their interest and involvement in seeking out prostitutes. And what they did was decide that what the Seattle area needed were South Korean prostitutes. And apparently there was a fairly large, thriving network or business of Korean prostitutes in Los Angeles. So there was this thought, well, we can tap into that. We have all this tech savvy among our members. We can create our own website, run ads, run reviews, promote these South Korean women. And so that coincided with the complaints coming in from residents of these Bellevue apartments that this activity, so this league just formed in early 2015, and that was right around the same time that the activity was picking up.
And what was life like for the women caught up in this prostitution ring?
You know, that's one of the things we know the least about. We know that some came directly from South Korea. Some spoke very little English. They had translator apps on their smartphones that they would use to communicate with the Johns. Sometimes they communicated with hand gestures. We know that they were isolated in these apartments, that they typically lived out of a suitcase. They were there for 4 or 5 weeks before they would move on to another city. The apartments were very sparely furnished. There were very few personal possessions in these apartments because it was more like a hotel room because no one lived there in a sense. And when you read the reviews that the police seized as a result of search warrants in this case, you get this picture that, you know, that some of the women, they're doing this for the first time. They're afraid. They have doubts about what they're doing. Some of the men complain that they don't seem completely into it, give them a bad review. And so there's really a pressure on them to perform, in a sense, to act like they love it, they're having a great time, make the men feel really special. Otherwise, they won't have customers. And clearly, they're doing it for the money. It was $300 an hour to see one of these women.
Were you able to get to know any of these women so that we can know whether they're doing any better today after the busting of this ring?
No. What happened was the police, and King County's been a national leader on this, they do not prosecute the women in prostitution. They treat them as victims. And so these women, on the day of the bust, it would have been, 12 women by chance who happened to be here, on their circuit. They were told that they were free to leave. There were translators available. They were given connections to social service agencies. Foreign prostitutes can apply for visas as victims of sexual violence. But it's not clear that any of the women did. And what the police have said is, as far as they know, they likely just moved on. They went to the other, back to Los Angeles or just other cities in the country, continuing on this circuit, but no longer coming to Seattle.
Seattle Times reporter Lynn Thompson, we said at the very beginning that where there's men and money, there's prostitution. And you described how when there's a new technology, there's another way for there to be prostitution. So in a sense, this is the oldest story, right? The oldest profession. What surprised you when you looked into what's happening now in Bellevue?
I was surprised by the sheer number of men involved. I had no idea. The fact we talked about there being 100 different websites where you could book a date with a prostitute just in the Seattle area alone. There were about 23,000 members of the review board, which was open to all prostitutes, not just South Korean prostitutes. The K-Girl Delight site had 1 million page views in 1 month of 2015. So the sheer numbers of men involved was pretty staggering to me.
Well, then what about the numbers now? Police took down this group investigation spanning 8 months, shut down 12 brothels on the east side, 2 websites seized. And how much did that slow prostitution in this region?
What the detective said is there was a pause because the main way for men in the Puget Sound area to connect with prostitutes was the review board. Once that was seized by the King County Sheriff's detectives, that wasn't available. And so the activity flowed to other sites. There were still, 99 other sites for finding escorts in the Seattle area. And it's really two of the men who were charged in the case. I talked to them, and one was pretty skeptical that the activity had diminished at all. He basically said there are new technologies where men can be even more anonymous than before, and there won't be a trail on their cell phones of who they've seen. And the detectives also said that other international enterprises moved in. So the Koreans were out, but then there were Thai, there were Chinese. There were Southeast Asian women, and I talked to the captain of the detectives unit in Bellevue last week. She was doing a community presentation and had one of her detectives kind of say, where are we at now with prostitution? And he went through the websites that he could find and estimated that there were 85 women back at work in Bellevue. So it's, I sort of joke, this is a full employment opportunity for the detectives. And they said there's so much money involved. There's a tremendous incentive for other organizations to rent the apartments, press the women into service, advertise them, promote them, and, try to make a lot of money.
It goes on. Lynn Thompson, reporter for the Seattle Times, thanks for your work.
Thanks very much for having me.
And we're tweeting out a link to her article, Busted, how police brought down a tech-savvy prostitution ring in Bellevue. We'll see you again when you come back, Lynn. Thank you.
Thanks very much.